Hunter Dozier hits it deep to left field. It is gone. Hunter Dozier hits another home run. And the Royals are finally on the board. That is his 15th. And it's 4-1 in the seventh.
But it wasn't enough. That was the only run the Royals would score. Indians beat the Royals yesterday. 4-1 was the final. Hunter Dozier with his 15th home run. He's been coming on here late in the season. Too little, too late, in my opinion. Welcome to Sports Ticket. Wade and Dusty with you. Royals now 69-83 with the loss. Daniel Lynch allowed 3 runs in the first inning, another in the second. And the Royals couldn't get anything going offensively. Royals starters have an ERA of just under 6 in the first inning this year, which ranks 26th in Major League Baseball. That's not good. It's by far their worst inning, so they get themselves behind early and have to rally. Daniel Lynch, who's been pretty solid since being called up in AAA Omaha the second time, has allowed 19 of his 42 runs this season in the first inning, or 45% of the runs he allows come early in the contest. Mike Matheny, the manager of the Royals, realizing that's a problem for not only Lynch, but other young starters.
Did a good job of figuring out how to compete. Messages, we've got to figure out a way to be better coming out of the pen, being ready for that first inning. And it's not just Daniel, I think. It's a number of the young guys kind of falling into that trap too. So always trying to restructure how we prepare for the game and how we use our bullpen time coming in. But we're just going to have to make some adjustments. I mean, it's tough. He really didn't even have anything but that fastball today and didn't have that early, kept missing high and really couldn't help but bounce the slider. And somehow, even with just his fastball, he was able to have some really clean, quick innings to allow him to get deeper in the game. But that's just competing.
Royals, I hit the Indians 9-5, but lose 4-1. Royals now 69-83. Daniel Lynch goes 6 innings, 4 hits, 4 runs, 3 walks, 5 Ks, gave up a home run. Dylan Coleman making his Major League debut. 1 hit and 1 inning of work. Royals will be back in action tonight. 5-10, first pitch in Cleveland. Carlos Hernandez on the hill, 6-2, ERA 3.90. Salvador Perez, no home runs yesterday. 1-for-4, hitting .276. And 46 homers on the year, 115 RBIs for Salvador Perez. Major League Baseball put a picture and a graphic and did something in regards to the top three MVP candidates and didn't even put Salvi on the top three in the American League, which is ridiculous. He leads the majors in home runs and RBIs and is going to win a gold glove, and somehow that doesn't get on the top three. Once again, it's the bias that is. And Otani's going to win it, but Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is having an unbelievable year too. He leads the league in batting average, tied for the home run lead with Perez, and if he would go crazy your last 2 weeks, he maybe could catch people with RBIs and get the triple crown. How do you not give the MVP to a triple crown winner? Now, Guerrero's probably not going to get it. He's far enough back in the RBIs. But still, you lead two of those three categories, that would normally win MVP. What Salvi's doing would normally win MVP in some years. But Otani's doing so many amazing things with his 45 homers. He struck out 146 batters, pitching and hitting. He's going to get the MVP. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But Salvi, to me, should definitely be at least third. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, no worse than third.
Yes.
There's nothing in that's out there that shows that he should not be in the top three.
Yes, I would agree
with
that. It's
insane
to me. Agreed. All right, local sports, volleyball from yesterday.
Yeah, a lot of scores from last night. You can find all these online at ncksports.com as well, the full scores. Beloit gets a sweep over Sacred Heart as they won both matches in 2 last night in NCAA league action. Beloit's now 14-5 and 4-0 in the North Central Activities Association on the season. Norton Triangular, Smith Center improved to 13-0 overall and 8-0 in the Mid-Continent League with a couple sweeps. They beat Norton in 2, the host school, and then they beat Trigo in 2 as well. Rock Hills Triangular last night. Lakeside, they're on a roll right now on the volleyball side of things. They swept Rock Hills in 2 and then beat St. John's Tipton in 2 as well. Lakeside's 11-3. They won 8 straight matches after last night's wins. And then St. John's Tipton beat Rock Hills in 2 in the final match of the evening. St. John's Tipton's 11-4 now this season. Southern Cloud Triangular, Osborne went 2-0. They won in 2 over Southern Cloud and also 1-2 over Lincoln. Osborne's now 10-4 on the season. And Lincoln beat Southern Cloud in 3 in the other match there in Milton Vale last night. And then the Chase Triangular, it was Sylvan Lucas beating Chase in 2. And they beat Wilson in 2 as well. Sylvan Lucas now 13-6 after sweeping a couple matches there last night in Chase. Chase beat Wilson in 3 in the other match last night. So again, full results and final scores from those matches are all posted at ncksports.com. Also yesterday, the Southeast Sling Cross Country Invitational was held. Southeast Sling Girls took first place. Wichita Trinity Boys won the team title there. Individual championships went to Gentry Alderson of Southeast on the girls' side, and Southeast Dylan Sprecher won the boys' race. Lincoln and Sylvan Lucas did compete in this event. They didn't have any medalists from those schools, but if you want to find full results for Lincoln and Sylvan Lucas, you can check out the website at ncksports.com as we have the full results from the Southeast Sling Cross Country Invitational. So that's what happened in high school sports yesterday. Also, a reminder to everybody, we have our high school football locker room chats coming back here tonight on Katy Country 94 as we'll talk to the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge. And those are also online at katycountry94.com. And if you ever miss our locker room chats, you can go back and listen to them on the locker room chat podcast at katycountry94.com as well. So don't miss high school football locker room chats tonight and tomorrow night. High school football then coming up on Friday as well.
All right, you mentioned all the volleyball results there. Okay.
Everything I had, yep.
Of course, Beloit was at Sacred Heart last night in volleyball. If you want to go back and watch that, it's available on demand. Archives are available. There is a fee for access to the archives. The replays, it's $10 a month. It's $40 for a full year, which is a really cheap deal because that ends up being basically less than, it's like $350 a month. And access to all of the archives and replays, not just one. I know there's another school in the NCAA that is using NFHS, and people got to pay $11 every time. So, you know, I've had people say something about, why is there a charge for that? It's like, well, there is a fee for us to hold everything onto a server so we can have replays. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, you know, you get to watch it for free live, courtesy of sponsors and everything else. But other schools are flat out charging people to watch it live.
Yeah.
We're not. So sometimes people need to understand what's going on in the whole dynamic of what's happening instead of your own world. And there are times where people get caught up in this tunnel vision and not understanding what else is happening. It's like that happens to fans all the time. Well, our football team... You know, our football team's 1-2, or we're 0-3. We're not very good. Well, but did you know who they played? They played really good teams, and now their schedule's going to get easier. They're not as bad as the record indicates. Or we're 3-0. Why aren't we ranked? Because you didn't play anybody. You had three PUDs so far. I mean, it is amazing how people have this. They have no idea what's happening in the world outside of their backyard. I mean, just in regular people in just regular situations in the world, in society. Have no idea that there's people that are homeless. Have no idea that people are living from paycheck to paycheck, because if they're living well, it's all good. Mm. They have no idea how bad it is in hospitals in parts of the country with COVID-19. They just figure, hey, if I break my leg in a car accident, I'm going to be taken care of. And then all of a sudden, when you're not, well, this isn't right. Oh, that's what you guys are talking about. Now it sinks in. That type of thing. Mm-hmm. Isn't it's just how we are. It's just how society is. It's, you know, we think it's just horrible, whatever we're going through, and have no idea what's happening with a lot of other people outside of our bubble. And I'm guilty of it. I'm sure you are too. Yeah. We all are guilty of it. But it is interesting what people do complain or whine about and then don't understand that they've got a lot better off than a lot of other people, no matter whether it's sports-related or society-related or whatever the case may be. It's like I was talking with some people a few weeks ago. You know, it was really hot, about 100 degrees. And I talked to a couple people, and they said, you know, just wait. In a few weeks, people will be whining about how cold it is. I go, here we are, 52 degrees.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a little chilly. I like it warmer. I got to wear a jacket. Oh, my. Well, what way do you want it? Okay? For crying out loud.
I want exactly what it is.
I'm okay with what it is now.
Here.
I like it. First day of fall.
Give me 50s, you know, overnight, you know, 70, yeah. mid-70s during the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
100%. That's what I want every day.
I'm good with that. 70 to 80 degrees every day.
I do like a little variety, though. I don't want to like live in a place where it's that every single day. Probably.
I don't know, I do, but I don't know, man. I think I could live in a place where it's between 70, 80 all the time. And if I want warm weather, I'll travel where it is warm.
Yeah.
And if I want cold weather, which I will never want cold weather, so I'll never travel there. So Antarctica is off my bucket list. That's for sure. Yeah, it is amazing what people talk about and complain about. Like I say all the time, keep complaining till your dreams come true. Okay, Chiefs fans have been complaining because the Chiefs' rush defense is bad. The defense in general is bad. I'm going to give Chiefs fans a chance to feel better about things. I had a Chiefs fan, a friend of mine, text me the other day, goes, is it too early to panic? I said, it depends. It's a good question. But we only play two games. We have 15 more games to play. There's 17 this year, plus hopefully the playoffs. So I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't panic if you're a Chiefs fan. Because there are Chiefs fans that are panicking. This defense is the worst defense we've ever had. I don't know. Wait, just go back at 18, and there's some other years we've been really bad. Also, we have a small sample size so far this year. We've also played two of the best running teams in football. The Chiefs aren't going to face a team that runs the ball any better than the Ravens or Browns the rest of the year. Maybe the Titans. Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
That'd be it. So here are the early returns. Most rush yards allowed in the NFL. The Chiefs have allowed 404. That's 75 more than the second most allowed. So by far the worst. Mm-hmm. Most rushing touchdowns allowed. Chiefs have allowed 7. The second worst defense allowing rushing touchdowns. 8 teams tied with 3. So the Chiefs clearly have that wrapped up right now. Mm-hmm. And most yards per rush allowed. The Chiefs are allowing 6 yards per carry. Chargers are second worst at 5.6. Cardinals 5.4. Chargers come to town this weekend. Pregame 11 o'clock. On Z96.3 Lake, your home for the Chiefs in North Central Kansas. So those numbers are bad. And I hear this, and it is inaccurate. I hear people say, well, you got to stop the run to win. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know how I know that? 2018, the Chiefs won their division. They were the number 2 seed, but they had home field advantage. And they were one of the worst teams against the run, and they were a coin flip away or a Dee Ford's offside penalty away or one third down stop away from being in the Super Bowl with a deplorable defense that couldn't stop the run. A couple years ago, Chiefs won the Super Bowl. The Chiefs were not very good against the run. Didn't matter. How many times did the Chiefs before Sunday night beat the Ravens and beat the Titans and beat other teams that run for 200 yards or more? Usually the Chiefs win. Because the other team runs for over 200, but the Chiefs can, you know, get a force a field goal instead of a touchdown. Mm-hmm. That's a win for this Chiefs defense. You do not have to be great defensively against the run to be successful and win football games. The league isn't what it once was. It isn't a, you know, Christian Okoye, Barry Word, hand the ball off, a cloud of dust under Marty Ball days. That doesn't apply anymore, okay? Even the reason the Ravens beat the Chiefs on Sunday night, besides the Chiefs beating themselves with the turnovers, was, and yes, the Chiefs defense wasn't very good, but here's the thing. The Chiefs defense was so bad, and yet if Clyde Edwards-Helaire does not fumble, the Ravens ran for 251 yards, Dusty, and if Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't fumble or Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw the dumb pick that he threw, Chiefs still win the game. Mm-hmm. So don't tell me this, we got to stop the run stuff. It ain't true. It's completely a misnomer and a myth. The other reason why the Ravens won on Sunday night was they actually were able to pass the ball for 200 and some yards in association with running for 251. Go back and look at the box scores of when the Chiefs have beaten the Ravens the last 3 times. Mahomes versus Jackson. You know what the Ravens' passing numbers are? They're not good.
No.
They're not good. But they were much better the other night. I mean, they still only threw 1 touchdown and 2 interceptions. He threw for, 239 yards? There's the difference. There's a difference because in previous games, Lamar will throw for 120 yards. I mean, he's not been very good. He was better passing the ball against the Chiefs on Sunday night. So don't sit here and get all caught up in this misnomer that you have to stop the run to win a Super Bowl. You have to stop the run to make the playoffs. You have to stop the run to win your division. That is all absolutely and completely untrue. The Chiefs have proven this, okay? The Chiefs have proven it. The Rams proved it back in the Kurt Warner days, for crying out loud. They weren't great against the run. You don't have to – what name one great defense in the league right now. There is none because it is an offensive league. The rules are designed for the offense to score, all right, whether it's running or passing, but mostly passing. It is a passing league. Well, the Chiefs got to run the ball more effectively to win. Nobody would have been saying that if Helaire doesn't fumble the other night. The Chiefs didn't run the ball worth a dang the other night. Didn't need to, still should have won. So, well, we got to run the ball so many times to win the game. Not true. Well, we got to stop the run. Not true. What you got to do is, one, don't turn the ball over. That helps. Chiefs usually don't turn the ball over. That's why you shouldn't be panicking, because if the Chiefs do not turn the ball over on Sunday night, they win that game and probably win it comfortably. But they didn't. They lost. So, you got to be sitting there going, well, wait a minute, though, Wade. I mean, we're not good against the run. Hell, we're not good against anything right now defensively. You're right. That's true. So the Chiefs, in the first 2 weeks of the season, have allowed over 450 yards of offense. That's right. Mm-hmm. Week one against Cleveland, week two against Baltimore, the Chiefs have allowed over 450 yards of offense in each game, their defense. That's a ton of yards, man. Ton of yards. Gave up 29 points to the Browns, gave up 36 to the Ravens. That's a lot of points, too. And yet the Chiefs should be 2-0. They could easily be 2-0, despite all of that, okay? So let's look at this. The Chiefs gave up over 300 yards of offense in the first half against Cleveland, only down 12 at halftime, and got the ball to start the third quarter. Against Baltimore, they gave up 270 yards in the first half. Do you know what the score was at halftime?
Is it 21-17?
Chiefs were ahead.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they were up 21-17.
Think about this for a second. The Chiefs were ahead 21-17, giving up almost 300 yards of offense in the first half. And you're telling me that the Chiefs have to shut teams down to win? The Chiefs have to slow down the running game? It's none of it's true. The Chiefs, go back. When the Chiefs beat the Titans in the playoffs, they slowed down the run. That was important, right? Mm-hmm. But the Chiefs have given up 200 yards rushing multiple times and win most of those games. When they went to Tennessee, that was the first game back a couple years ago when they won the Super Bowl, and they had that game won, and they choked it away. You know, Tyreek Hill, you know, didn't stay in bounds. They had a field goal at the end that was blocked. They were trying to throw the ball on a fourth down play to Blake Bell for some dumb reason. I mean, they just absolutely just fell apart. And the Chiefs' defense was horrendous that day, and yet the Chiefs still were in position to win the game and should have won the game despite being horrible against Derrick Henry. So when you get all caught up in, well, the Chiefs' defense is horrible and that's what's going to stop us from winning, that's not necessarily true. And I know it's hard for people to fathom that. I know it's hard for people to put their arms around that and embrace it and accept it, but it's an absolute fact. The game is – now, if these numbers that we were telling you about happened in 1994 when I was a senior in high school, in 1997 when the Chiefs were 13-3, yes – they would not be nearly as successful. But the game has changed. The game has completely changed. It used to be that you wouldn't worry about scoring in the final 3 minutes or 5 minutes of a game. You just scored because odds are you're going to stop the other team because teams weren't as good offensively, right? The rules weren't designed to help offenses score. Now you got to do what Andy Reid did the other night. Not only are you trying to kick a field goal or go get a touchdown to win the game, you're also trying to make sure you leave no time on the clock. So you're managing the clock while you have the ball. So you want to score, but now you can't score too fast. That's not easy to do. The Chiefs were doing that the other night. It was the right game plan. Andy Reid didn't do anything wrong with his play calling. I'm so sick of hearing about that. That's the easiest, laziest excuse in the books. It's just like doing a sports talk show and being lazy and saying, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? And just let everybody go nuts. It's lazy. It is lazy, and you're not really looking at the game very closely when all you want to focus on is, well, Andy shouldn't have ran the ball with Allaire. Why shouldn't he have? They have to milk the clock. Best way to run the clock's run the ball, correct? Well, Mahomes should run the ball. Now you're an idiot. If you think Mahomes should be running the ball on a naked bootleg or option plays or just running quarterback sneaks. What happened the last time Mahomes ran a quarterback sneak? Oh, yeah, it was almost as if the Chiefs season ended, dislocated kneecap in Denver. No. You don't have your $500 million man. I mean, I hold my breath when he scrambles now going forward, okay? No, you don't do that. You give it to a guy that hadn't fumbled in his whole NFL career. Oh, my God, he fumbled. Yeah, the ball was punched out. Good defensive play. You know, that wasn't the plan. When Andy called the running play, he didn't go, oh, you know what, maybe I shouldn't call this because Allaire might fumble. But, coach, he's never fumbled. Oh, yeah, that's right. Give it to Allaire. So what makes it more difficult now on offense at the end of games is, yes, your defense is, including the Chiefs, but everybody's defense isn't as good as it once was. I guarantee you if the Ravens were in the same situation in the night, they would have played it the same way. Because they don't want Mahomes to have the ball. In fact, I know because they went for it on 4th-and-1 with a minute to go. I mean, they did not want Mahomes to have the ball. That's why you go for it in deep in your own territory at your own 35, 40-yard line. You go for it, and it's a no-brainer because the game has changed. That would never have happened during Marty Ball. Would have never happened in the 90s. But it happens now because you don't want the other team to get the ball. Okay, so I've gotten off topic just a little bit. But let's get back to the defense. Curtis Ebolt, 810 WHB in Kansas City, put this together. This is really, really interesting. Let me go back to the number. Now, hopefully Justin's listening or he'll listen to the podcast later today. Chiefs fans, this is why you should not panic about the defense. This is why you shouldn't panic about the Chiefs not making the playoffs or falling apart or whatever else. The Chiefs allowed over 450 yards of offense to the Browns in week one, over 450, almost 500 yards of offense to the Ravens in week two. There are nine NFL teams, according to Curtis Ebolt, that have allowed 450 yards or more in each of their first two games of a season. All right? Since 2011 is what he's going by. So that's the modern era of pass-happy league. Which makes sense. Because, by the way, none of this would apply before it anyway because teams didn't do offensively what they're doing today. So let me go back over this. Teams that allowed 450 or more yards in each of their first two games since 2011. There are nine teams that have done that, including now. Oh, well, you can't count the Chiefs yet. So are they the 10th? I don't know if he counted that one in here. Yeah, no, he's talking about the previous one. So the Chiefs are the 10th team to allow 450 yards or more in each of their first two games on defense. The previous nine teams, what do you think their average record was? At the end of the season, what do you think their average record was? Nine teams in NFL history, including the 2018 Kansas City Chiefs, allowed 450 or more yards. Actually, that's right. 2018. It would be the 2017 Chiefs, I guess. First year Mahomes, because they lost in the AFC Conference title game to New England. So it had been the 17, and then it was 18 was when they actually played the game. It's confusing when you play the game in January. Mahomes would have been 18. It'd been 19 would have been the loss in the play. So it had been the 18 Chiefs, so I was right to start with.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, that's right. The 18 Chiefs, because they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. Teams that allowed 450 yards or more in each of the first two games, nine teams have done it. What's the average record of those nine teams, you think, at the end of the year? Because clearly they must suck, right? I mean, they're going to all be bad.
So I'm going to say it's probably good. So I'm going to say 11-5.
Bingo. You nailed it.
Yeah. At 10-6 wasn't going to be enough to consistently say they're going to make the playoffs with those teams. So I figured 11-5
was nine NFL teams since 2011 have allowed 450 yards or more in each of their first two games. Those nine teams have gone on to have a final record average of 11-5. Six of those teams have gone to the playoffs. Three of the nine teams won at least one playoff game, including the 18 Kansas City Chiefs. How many of those nine teams do you think got to the Super Bowl?
Three.
One.
Okay.
One. How many teams do you think won the Super Bowl?
Well, one.
Zero.
Or no.
Zero. Zero.
Yeah, zero.
I caught you on that one. Yeah. three teams have won at least one playoff game, the Chiefs and 18. Two teams got to the conference title game, the 2011 Patriots, the 2018 Chiefs. One team got to the Super Bowl, the 2011 Patriots, and they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl that year. Those nine teams gave up an average of 376 yards a game the rest of the way. They finished, on average, those nine teams, 27th in the NFL in yards allowed, which is almost dead last. Two of them did move up to the top 20. The six teams that made the playoffs out of those nine finished on average fourth in points scored and fifth in yards, which means their defense is horrible, but their offense was really, really good to overcompensate, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Four teams went 2-0 in those two games despite giving up 450 yards in each game. Four teams of the nine went 2-0. That was including the 18 Kansas City Chiefs.
The Chiefs were part of that.
The Seahawks did it last year. The five teams that went 1-1 or 0-2 in those games finished with an average record of 9-7. Well, that doesn't seem so bad, but they're one fumble away from being 2-0. The Chiefs are. So history proves in the last decade, and we're just looking at the last decade because that's how the game has changed, pass happy league, that Chiefs fans, this is why you shouldn't panic. Now, if the Chiefs give up 450 yards per game every game the rest of the year, yeah, okay, they ain't going to be great. But history shows that it's going to get a little bit better. Not saying it's going to get great. I mean, as I just said, two of the nine finished in the top 20 in yards allowed on defense. On average, they finished 27th. So I'm not sitting here telling you that the Chiefs are going to turn into the steel curtain defense of the Steelers back in the 70s. The Chiefs aren't going to be that good defensively. I think we all can count on that. The Chiefs are going to be all about bending a lot, holding teams to field goals, getting some blitzes, somehow forcing a couple turnovers like they get it against Cleveland. That's exactly the blueprint for the Chiefs to win games this year with their defense is we're going to give up yards, we're going to give up first downs, we're going to give up third down conversions, but we're going to make a few plays when we really need it. And they did. Against the Cleveland Browns, they did. They forced a fumble against Chubb. They forced an interception by Mayfield. They got a key sack. They did make enough plays to win that game. And honestly, that's kind of what the Chiefs have done ever since Mahomes has become the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Last year, the defense was looked like it was getting a little bit better. 2 years ago, it was improved when they won the Super Bowl. But the point being is that if you're panicking about the Chiefs' defense right now and you think the Chiefs have no chance to make the playoffs or you think the Chiefs aren't going to do anything or you think this is going to prevent them from making the Super Bowl, history tells you you are wrong, which means you shouldn't panic. The other thing you need to keep in mind, another reason why you shouldn't panic as a Chiefs fan, is that, yes, you're horrible against the run. You played maybe the two best rushing offenses all of football, the Browns and the Ravens. Here's the rest of your schedule. The Chargers, not good against the run, which isn't bad for them because the Chiefs don't run it that much. Mm-hmm. Chargers are more of a pass-happy team, all right? Austin Eckler's their top running back. That's who comes to town this week. The Eagles are not an offensive juggernaut. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, I mean, Jalen Hurts can move around. They got Miles Sanders at running back. The Chiefs are at the Eagles October 3rd. Andy goes back to Philly. The Bills at home, the Bills don't run the ball super great, although a little bit better this year. So that's a team that, honestly, the Chiefs match up with better, okay? At Washington football team, now that's a team that's got a decent defense. They don't really have a great quarterback. I wouldn't sit here and say the Chiefs can't match up with them. At Tennessee, okay, now that's a team that's going to give the Chiefs problems the way the season is going. Derrick Henry running the ball, Ryan Tannehill, he's got Julio Jones, he's got A.J. Brown, he's got others. That game, that would maybe be one you can put and lump with the Browns-Ravens. I'm with you on that one, okay? Mm-hmm. But after that, the Giants at home, the Giants, what identity do they have offensively other than Daniel Jones fumbles? The Packers at home, they're not known as a running team at all.
They're throwing one-yard touchdown passes. Like, they're not even running at the goal line.
The Packers are kind of like the Chiefs offensively a little bit, so the Chiefs kind of match up there. At the Raiders are capable of running the ball. I would say that's one team you could maybe put in there, although they're more of a pass-happy team. The Cowboys, now the Cowboys could cause problems. If the Cowboys would stick to the running game like they did against the Chargers, that could be a team that can cause problems for the Chiefs. Denver at home, Denver doesn't exactly have a great running game. The Raiders again, okay, fine. At the Chargers, we know about that. Pittsburgh still trying to figure out what they're going to do offensively. They have four new offensive line starters, new running back. At Cincinnati and at Denver. I mean, what teams are really bad matchups for the Chiefs defense the rest of the way? And you could argue all of them because the Chiefs aren't exactly great against anything right now. But their biggest problem, as it seems like it always is their rush defense. So if all these other teams are going to throw the ball more often, there's a better chance the Chiefs are going to get a tip ball, get an interception, force a turnover when they really need it. And with this Chiefs offense, really the Chiefs need basically the defense to get a combination of three stops, four stops a game. They can give up four touchdowns and get four stops. That's really all we need. Mm-hmm. That's really all you need. And four stops seems like a lot right now with this defense. But you get a turnover or two, there's two stops. You get them into a punt, maybe a holding penalty, a bad snap over the head of a center like we had the other night with the Chiefs. There's a stop. I mean, that's what the Chiefs need is basically two stops a half from their defense, maybe one. And their offense can do enough to cover, especially if they don't turn the ball over. So you can argue that the Chiefs' defense is horrible, and I will give you that. Right now, they are. You can argue the Chiefs are horrible against the run. That is true. But it's not like the Chiefs gave up all this yardage to the Philadelphia Eagles and the Buffalo Bills, who aren't really run-heavy teams. They did it against two teams that love to run the football. And by the way, the last two times they played the Browns have run it all over them, and they won both those games. And the last four times they played the Ravens, and the Ravens have run it all over the Chiefs. The Chiefs have lost once, and that's because they turned it over twice in the last fourth quarter. So, honestly, the Chiefs' defense has been deplorable against the run, and the Chiefs combined against the Ravens and Browns the last 3 years are 6-1. So there's another reason not to panic. Now, do you want to win shootout after shootout? I don't want to see the Chiefs have to play the Rams 54-51. That was entertaining, but nobody could stop anybody. I think that's too much offense. Now, you give me 33-29, Browns-Chiefs game, okay. Even the Ravens-Chiefs game the other night wasn't too bad. But the thing is, the teams that have allowed 450 yards in each of the first two games last decade have finished with an average record of 11-5. And if this, if that's the case this year, the Chiefs are going to go 12-5. 12-5 could easily win the division. I don't think it'll get you home field, but the Chiefs can win on the road. So are you going to sit here and freak out the Chiefs go 12-5 and they get the number 2 or 3 seed in the playoffs? I'm not. Because I got number 15. I can win anywhere, any place, any day, even despite my defense. Mm-hmm. So despite how bad the defense has been, the Chiefs should be 2-0 anyway.
Yeah.
Now imagine if it improves, you know, just marginally.
Well, that's,
then you're gonna be fine unless the offense regresses.
Yeah, that's the thing for me is, like, I understand all those numbers that you just gave, right?
Sure.
I understand that the Chiefs won a lot of games with bad defense in 2018.
And their defense hasn't been great the last 2 years. Let's not go crazy about the defense the last 2 years.
No, it hasn't been great, but it's been better than 2018.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And that's the key.
Right.
That's where I'm going with that. Is that's the key. Like, you've got to make a couple stops here and there, like you're talking about. Hold the team to field goals here and there, like they have done
right.
the last couple years, right?
Yeah, right.
And if you can do that, you got to leave the offense just a little bit of leeway to make one mistake.
Right.
Or two mistakes. You know, I mean, you've got – that's where it comes in.
If
you don't stop the run and they continue to score touchdowns.
If the offense has an off
day. It comes to the
end
of the game where you've got to give the offense a little bit of leeway to have themselves make a mistake.
Right.
I mean, they can't be perfect game, every game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's where it comes in for me, where you got to start stopping the run. Because, as we said, you know, the passing game was wide open a lot for the Ravens because the Chiefs couldn't stop the run. Guys are crashing up to the line. Corners are coming in. Leaving these guys one-on-one with safeties who aren't doing their job on the Hollywood Brown touchdown, right?
Right.
And it's like, so you get into a bad situation just all around, and then you're not making any stops whatsoever, and now you're in a situation where the offense can't even make a single mistake. And the game's over, like it was on Sunday night.
Let me ask you this. I know it's very hypothetical, but we have 15 more games to go. The offense, honestly, has been really good the first 2 weeks for the most part, except for those two turnovers, which, you know, it's going to happen. Like you said, there could be a batted ball, a pass Mahomes puts around the money that goes off of Kelsey's hands and into a safety's arms for an interception. I mean, weird things can happen. You know, the other thing that happened the other night, Sunday night, people forget about was the Chiefs forced a fumble at the goal line and popped right into another Ravens and right into it for a touchdown. If that play goes the other way, that's probably a different game too. So Baltimore got a little bit of luck as well. But 15 more games to go. How many games out of the next 15, assuming the Chiefs' key players stay healthy, and that's a big if. I still think Kelce Hill, one of them, is going to miss some time this year. Maybe it's just a couple games that could be big. Maybe even Mahomes will get dinged up. I don't know. But let's just assume that the main key components are healthy for the last 15 games. Because we play 17 this year, folks, so there's 15 more. How many of those 15 games do you think the Chiefs' offense will not be clicking? What would you say, based on what you've seen since Mahomes has become the quarterback of the Chiefs, how many games would you say for the next 15 weeks the Chiefs' offense will struggle?
Not many, like maybe two.
Okay,
and,
okay.
And I don't know who those teams are going to be.
I'm not
right?
worried
because
about that.
One year was the Colts. And
right.
We expected them to go.
Right.
They scored 13
well,
points against
Mahomes
the Colts.
Was on a yippy ankle that game.
He was, but it's like, you know, one of those things that you just don't don't know when to expect it. But
okay,
it's not normal for them not to be clicking.
So okay, that's exactly the number I had in my head is two.
Yeah,
they're going to have two games the rest of the year if they're healthy, where they're going to struggle offensively. For some reason, they just have an off day. It could be against a team you don't expect. It could be the Eagles, and it could be one game against the Broncos, and they struggle. Okay, I would argue that in those two games that they struggle, they're going to probably find a way to win one. Okay? I might be wrong. Let's just go pessimistically. Okay, so you and I agree that if they stay healthy, they're going to have two off games out of the next 15 offensively. Let's chalk those up as losses, okay, for now. Because the defense is so bad. If the offense struggles, the Chiefs are done, right? That's what people think right now. So there's two losses. They got one already. That's three. All right? Now, the Chiefs' offense is clicking really well the other 13 weeks. What do you think their record is in those 13 weeks? I'd say 11-2. So there's five losses. And here we are, 12-5. 11-5, the average. So this team can easily be 11-5, 12-5. And honestly, if the defense can get marginally better, they could easily end up being 14-3 like Danny Welniak predicted yesterday on our show. Despite what she's seen the first 2 weeks, she's sticking to 14-3. Now, I think the Chiefs are going to lose a little bit more than that. I think they're going to lose 4 or 5, unless the defense really improves. Just imagine this defense was worth a darn. how easy it would it seem would seem to be. But everybody's got their own kryptonite, right? Everybody's got their own kryptonite. But this defense is really bad right now, but the Chiefs have overcome really bad defense quite a bit since Mahomes become the starter. The biggest question, though, is what prevents you from winning a Super Bowl? Did you notice that of the nine teams I mentioned, six of them went to the playoffs. Only one made the Super Bowl, and that team lost it.
Yeah.
And that's the number that sticks out in my head, zero. Of those nine have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So that's the ultimate goal, right? The Chiefs fans aren't going to be happy going to the Super Bowl and losing it back-to-back years. Are you kidding me? It's about winning it all. And if you want to panic about the Chiefs not winning it all, then you could say, well, Wade, you just helped me argue that I should panic because I don't think they're going to win it all. I'm sitting here going, you shouldn't be worried about winning it all yet. You should not be worrying about winning it all right now in week three coming up. You should start worrying about winning it all when you get to December. And we talked about a couple years ago, Chiefs defense was really, really bad. After that Tennessee game, really, really bad. All of a sudden, the last 6 weeks, the Chiefs had a top 10 defense, and the defense played fairly well in the playoffs, okay? And they won a Super Bowl. And we've seen the Colts 1 year when they got Bob Sanders back where they were horrible all year long, and then all of a sudden they were good in the playoffs, and that was the one time Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl with the Colts. You can't get all caught up, and it's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. You know, the Chiefs have had great starts. They're not used to losing a game in September. They'd won 15 in a row in September or something like that. The last time they were not in first place in their division was Week 16 in 2016 under the Obama administration. That's how long it's been since the Chiefs have not been in first place. You know why they're always in first place? Because they go 4-0 in September. They provide a little bit of leeway for themselves. Now, this year, they don't have as much leeway. You know, you go in the Charger game, you lose, you're 1-2, and you're 0-1 in division. Now you're going, oh, my goodness, maybe we won't win the division.
Yeah, you're last place in the division if you lose to the Chargers this week.
Because you assume in the Broncos and Raiders, well, the Broncos, Raiders, even if they they'd be 2-1. You're right. If you lose this week, you're in last place. And the Chargers have a really good offense, and I think they'll still be able to run the ball. So I'm worried about this game. I am. There's not as much leeway. And Andy Reid's usually good against AFC West teams. The Chiefs usually bounce back after losses. And the Chiefs' defense should be mad as you know what. Here's another question, though, and it's not about panicking, but why is Juan Thornhill only getting 11 snaps? I mean, he's a second-round pick from a few years ago. He tore his ACL about a year and a half ago. He looked all right in preseason, made a big play against the Browns. Daniel Sorensen's having a ton of snaps. And do you know the Chiefs have missed 21 tackles already in 2 weeks? You know who has the most missed tackles?
Sorensen.
Yeah, nine. Nine of the 21 missed tackles are Daniel Sorensen. Now, I see how he tackles, and sometimes he jars the ball free, but he doesn't actually wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a missile shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
But Daniel Sorensen shouldn't be playing that many snaps, and that's not to say he's not a good player. He just shouldn't be your starting safety. And then the other question is, why is Ben Neiman having had so many snaps? Now, part of that might be Willie Gase, you know, out right now. But there are people that believe that Steve Spagnuolo is being true to the guys that he wants to work with, and he's trying to send a message to some of the younger guys. But when you end up blitzing, who do you think has a better chance of getting the quarterback, Sorensen or Thornhill? You know, if you're going to blitz, do you think who's got a better chance of getting the quarterback, Bolton or Gay or Neiman? I'm going to sit here and tell you who I think. And so Thornhill has to play more than 11 snaps. I mean, to me, if this defense is going to be bad, let's go ahead and play some of the younger guys. Kind of like we talk about the Royals, you know, if you're going to be bad and not going to go anywhere, let's just go ahead and pitch some of the younger pitchers and get some experience, right? Play some of the younger guys, call them up. You got to worry about service time, of course, in the future. With the Chiefs, I mean, Sorensen can't be playing that many snaps, and I don't think it's because he's a bad player. I think he gets worn down. I think he plays too many snaps, and he does miss tackles. He should be playing less snaps. Thornhill should play more, a lot more than 11 snaps. Any other thing you want to think positive about is Matthew. It was his first game back. They're still working on communication. Chris Jones is learning a different position. Jerron Reed has been awful at defensive tackle so far, and he looked pretty good in preseason. I can't explain that. Maybe he's going to figure some things out. I think the Chiefs defense has nowhere to go but up because it's pretty bad right now. I think the odds are they're going to improve. They're going to go up against teams that aren't as good offensively. They're going to go up against teams that don't run the ball down their throat. They're going to go against teams that are going to pass the ball, which means a better chance of getting turnovers and deflected passes and whatever else and getting some stops. I don't think there's any reason to panic if you're a Chiefs fan right now, unless you believe there is no way the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl and that is all you're worried about. And if that's the case, then don't watch football until we get to January anyway, because it is a process. Obviously, an injury anywhere can cost any team a chance at a Super Bowl as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that just because you have a really bad defense in weeks 1 and 2, history proves that 6 out of 9 times teams go to the playoffs and the average record's 11-5. There's no reason to say you can't do something in the playoffs if you figure things out at the last minute. It's about how you finish. It's not about how you start. So thus, I say, do not panic. Now, I will say this. If you play the Chargers and you give up 500 yards of offense and they beat you in the run and the pass and you lose that game, you go to Philadelphia and you squeak one out, but the Eagles run up 450 yards of offense, yeah, then I might be starting to panic a little bit. Because I think after 4 weeks, you should have something figured out and getting better. But I'll ultimately reserve my judgment for the Chiefs in December. I said that the first year Spags was defensive coordinator. Don't judge him in October, September, November. Judge him in December. And after the Titan game in the Super Bowl year, that's when they figured it out. It was after the first week in December, they figured it out, or late November. They figured it out. There isn't a lot of game film to go off of early in the season. Not as much. Teams make adjustments. They have different personnel. I mean, the Ravens had different personnel, for crying out loud. Sammy Watkins is a different receiver. They have different running backs. They have different linemen. They had three backup linemen. The film is different. Nick Leckie said on our show a few weeks ago, the hardest games to prepare for are week one and two. There's just not a lot of film. Once you get into week three, four, and five, now you got a lot enough film to figure out some tendencies, this and that, and it helps you as a coaching staff. And Andy Reid's coaching staff is very good when it comes to this stuff. So there is hope. I think the Chiefs defense will get better. But if you're thinking the Chiefs defense can be a top 10 defense, I think you're nuts. But if you think the Chiefs can be a top 20 defense, I'll listen to you. But the Chiefs don't even have to be a top 20 defense. They just have to improve and bend but not break, stop teams and hold them to 3 instead of 7, don't allow every team inside the red zone to always score a touchdown. Go ahead. I don't care if the Chiefs give up a score every time in the red zone. As long as it's a field goal a lot more often, I'm cool with it because I know my offense is going to get 7 more often than 3. And I do think Andy Reid will need to be more aggressive in regards to offense when he's up 11 to just go for the throat. And keep scoring points because this defense right now is a problem. And so if you're the Chiefs offense, you don't take the foot off the gas ever. Mm-hmm. Ever. You just try to score every time you have the ball. Don't worry about 3 points. It's 4th and 1 at the 12. Don't kick a field goal. Go for it because your defense can't stop anybody. Now, maybe that will change down the line. Maybe there's a psychology of Andy doesn't want to do that because it sends a horrible message to his defense. And the defense says, Andy doesn't trust us. And then they start hanging their heads. I don't know. That could be true. But it's a little too early to panic is my message.
It's week two is always too early to panic. I don't care what's going on with your team, right? If you're getting blown out.
Listen, they got blown out by the Browns and the Ravens. They're 0-2. I think some people would panic because it's like those are two of the best teams in the AFC, and we got just blown out by both of them. One was at home against Cleveland. There would be reason to panic a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think Aaron Rodgers was actually panicking after week one.
He said relax.
One game. We were bad today. We're going to move on and play the next one. And then weren't great the first half, but ended up running away from the Lions in game two. So it's you can't sit there and be like, oh, we got – even if you get beat bad, right, in week one. You just – it's one game. You got to move on. I mean,
the Patriots won a Super Bowl. The Patriots won a Super Bowl 1 year when they got blitzed by the Bills first week of the season. Remember the year when the Chiefs hosted the Patriots in Arrowhead and the Chiefs walloped the Patriots? And Tom Brady didn't look good. And actually, Belichick put Brady on the bench late in the game. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, New England people said that Brady's washed up. They said there's a quarterback, that there's a controversy, and Belichick doesn't believe in Brady. You know what the Patriots' record was? You know what week that was in the season? It was week 4.
Yeah, I knew it was.
They were 2-2. They lost that game, the Patriots are 2-2. Do you know what happened that year at the end of the season?
Well, they won the Super Bowl.
They won the Super Bowl! There were people in New England saying, get rid of Brady. Smart, Brady's worn out. Brady's old. Brady's lost his touch. Brady threw bad interceptions. And Belichick, now he might have a quarterback. There actually was a reporter saying about a quarterback controversy after the game, which was just ludicrous. And Belichick just actually laughed when that was asked of him. But the Patriots were 2-2. They got blown out at Arrowhead. They looked horrible. And they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Chiefs blew a game against Tennessee. They should have never lost. And their defense was horrendous for 10 weeks. They won the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, 6-4 after that loss, and then they never lost again.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year didn't win their division, were a 5 seed, won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's not how you start, people. And the Chiefs usually start really well. We're spoiled from that.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you finish. And they're a long way to go before we get to this finish line. Okay, KU football, 3 games into his junior season, running back Velton Gardner is ready to move on from the KU football program. He's entering the transfer portal. He was a starting running back each of the first 3 weeks of the season, but only had 56 yards on 29 rushing attempts. And that means that true freshman running back Devin Neal from Lawrence High will be their starting running back, or at least get many more opportunities. So that'll be interesting. More bad news for KU football. The first high school recruit to publicly commit to KU football after Lance Leipold took over the program, Texas Prep cornerback Jalen Peoples, has backed out of that decision on Tuesday. It was a non-binding verbal agreement with KU and Leipold. He's now changed his mind, says he's reopening his recruitment. So bad news there for KU if you're really worried about Jalen Peoples, who was a three-star recruit. College football playoff expansion may not happen as people thought. There's some animosity amongst people that are talking. One of the big sticking points is that there are many people, or at least some people, that are talking with this possible expansion to a 12-team playoff down the line in 2024. They don't want ESPN to have full rights. And I don't blame anybody for arguing that. After what's happened with the Big 12 and how ESPN has interjected themselves in the various things, I think it is a good idea to have more than one TV partner on this. I totally agree. And that is a big sticking point. And so we'll see whether there's expansion. Another thing that people have been talking about as well is the Rose Bowl wants to be obviously involved, but they don't want to give up their date. And so that brings in a little bit of the bowl picture in regards to college football expansion, because Rose Bowl, of course, would be included in the expansion idea. So there are some sticking points to work out, and I don't know how soon it's going to happen. In fact, they're supposed to meet on September 28th, and now it's there's reports that they might not even get together and meet on September 28th and cancel that meeting about college football playoff expansion. So stay tuned.
Yeah. Landscape has changed since they first started talking about that.
Yes, it has.
For sure.
Yes. I just can't give ESPN full autonomy on this, in my opinion. You've got to fight for some other network to be a part of it, because there's just too much power ESPN has.